If you're in a church, right, for instance, and the prophet says certain types of sex are evil and you're not supposed to do it, well, you'll feel guilty if you do it. If the prophet says you're not supposed to drink coffee and you drink coffee, then you may feel guilty if you do that. Now, if a Catholic drinks coffee, he doesn't feel guilty at all, because his person, his priest that is the substitute for God, has not told him that drinking coffee is wrong. So he feels absolutely no guilt by drinking coffee. If your religious authority tells you it's wrong to eat peas, you would feel guilty if you ate peas, because you would think, if you really accept this guy as a mouthpiece for God, you would feel guilty eating peas if he says God doesn't want you to eat those peas. What produces guilt is when a person accepts an individual person as a spokesman for God that tells him what is right and wrong. Now, that can be a person, it can also be a book even, like just reading the Bible, and he reads the Bible and it says it's wrong to do this, and if he thinks that's the voice of God, then if he breaks that, then he feels he has offended God. If his priest tells him this, then and he accepts that as being, the priest says, if you're naughty in this area, that you've offended God, then you'll feel guilt about it. And when we're first born, the people that are the authorities in our life are our parents. And our parents are substitutes for God. In other words, for a little kid, our parents are pretty much gods. And if our parents say, no, Johnny, that's naughty when you do this, well, Johnny will feel guilty about breaking this particular rule. And then as we go up, we transfer our substitute for God to religious leaders and also even political leaders. And for the atheist, it's more political. The atheist can feel guilty if he violates what his group thought form is, you know. And so this group thought form is the substitute for God. Whatever substitutes for God, the voice of God, whether it be for an atheist, a believer, doesn't matter who he is, this has power to produce guilt. So how do we surmount guilt then? If that's what produces guilt, how do we surmount it?
This is the one thing, one of the things I really appreciate about DK's writing, where he says the only obedience you owe is to your own soul, your own higher self.
Right. And so, where does God really speak? He speaks through your own soul, or as the redeemed, the 144,000 that are redeemed have God in their the name of God in their forehead. In other words, the true voice of God comes from within. So no matter what you do, you will not feel guilty if you go by the voice of God within yourself. Because the voice of God within yourself never condemns. It will correct, but not condemn. Whereas the voice of God on the outside isn't so interested in correcting, because it likes the power of being your God. See? Your preacher, your political leaders, your parents, the authorities in your life like being authorities. So the correction isn't nearly as important as that power to be the God to you. Okay? So you have to release those. Release all the outward authorities and only go by one inward authority. And the great part about that inward authority is it never will condemn you. You cannot commit a sin bad enough for your soul to condemn you. It may say, well, Tyler, you've been naughty today, but and you know you need to do better tomorrow, but it doesn't condemn you.
Correct course.
And it's interesting that the word sin comes from a Greek word that means to miss the mark. So when the ancient Greeks shot an arrow at a target and they missed it, they were said to have sinned. Now, let's suppose that the ancient Greeks, in shooting at a target, had the same attitude of a sinner in a religion. Okay? He shoots an arrow at the target and he misses, and he says, "Oh man, oh that's so terrible. I'm a really bad person for missing that. I don't deserve to even shoot again. I'm going to wait another month before I can even. I'm going to take a month off and do penance before I even take another shot." Okay, and that this is the way it is when there's guilt involved. And when there's guilt involved, we do not feel worthy of taking another shot, of doing anything. We just feel like standing still and feeling bad about it. Okay, but let's suppose that we commit some offense, we commit some error, and we go by the original word for sin, which means to miss a mark. If we make a mistake, then the attitude is like the archer. When the archer misses the bullseye, he just says, "Well, I missed, I'll try again." And he shoots until he hits the bullseye. And this is the way we do with this is the way we need to handle guilt. Only take correction from your inner self and realize when you make a mistake, it's just a mistake. You correct the mistake and you move ahead without any guilt at all.
Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
I like what Shakespeare said. He says, "Nothing is either right or wrong, but thinking makes it so."
Exactly. Yeah, I haven't felt guilt for many years, and it's really a great release to not feel guilt about anything. Now, some people can say, "Well, Scripture says that the wicked will have their conscience seared with a hot iron." You know, well, a conscience is different than that. A conscience merely tells you what's right and wrong. Your conscience doesn't make you feel guilty. You know, but what makes you feel guilty is a voice that's substituting for God, and that's the beast that we talked about earlier. The beast is a substitute for God, and everyone that allows a substitution for God to make them feel guilty has the mark of the beast. So think of your lives. If you feel guilty about anything, you're suffering from the mark of the beast to a degree. You got to eliminate that mark. Eliminate those authorities. Now, I've talked to a number of people that have been left the church, but even though they've left the church, they haven't left it in their mind. They still allow the authorities in the church to make them feel guilty. I mean, if you're going to leave the authorities behind, leave them behind completely, so they have no power to make you guilty. Now, those of you who are still in a church, fine, but don't allow anyone to speak with the voice of God to the point that they can make you feel guilty. Lean entirely on the voice of God that speaks to you from within, and you will no longer have any guilt about anything. And it's a tremendous freedom, and it opens the door to greater soul contact. Okay, any comment on that? Everybody ready to proceed with no guilt in their lives from here on out?
Sure. I have a statement. Maybe more of my mental stuff. Maybe what I'm feeling isn't guilt, but I feel guilt over like everything. So like I forget to feed the chickens, and I feel guilty. I don't get enough schooling in for the kids. I feel guilty. I forget to clean off the bathroom sink, and I feel guilty. I don't know. I guess that's just.
Well, is it really guilt, or is it just feel you need to make a correction?
Maybe it's that.
There's a difference.
What is the difference?
Yeah, I have things happen in my life. I screw up and I think, boy, silly me. Why did I do that? But I don't feel guilty about it. I feel like it was kind of a silly mistake. And just like you shoot if you're shooting an arrow at a target, or like me and Curtis out shooting his guns, and we missed it big time, you think, boy, how in the world did I miss that much? You know, well, that's not guilt. That's just analyzing the situation.
But if you're doing it over and over and over, then I really feel guilty, right? Really, well, why did I change that? So
the only thing that can make you feel guilty is if there's some voice that's substituted for God that you have accepted.
You're saying guilt is specifically that, and it's only that.
Yeah.
And I'm confusing the two.
So if you feel any guilt, you got to ask yourself, where is the voice I'm listening to that is substituting for God?
I don't think I feel that kind of guilt anymore.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, if that voice does not exist, then you do not feel real guilt.
No, okay.
You feel just...
I did when I was a kid, but I don't do that anymore.
Now, it could still be associated with your parents. You know, your parents are a very powerful force in your life, and there's a lot of children, in their 40s and 50s, they're still trying to please their parents. Boy, I wish I could just make my parents happy over one thing, you know. And they still have a very strong connection with the authoritative voice of their parents. And sometimes that's really difficult to let go.
I do feel sorry. I do feel sorry for hurting others' feelings, even after the forgiveness. Even after the forgiveness in place, I still feel sorry. I'm not sure it's guilt. I feel sorry for hurting their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's guilt.
Well, I feel sorry if I hurt somebody's feelings too. But I don't feel guilty over it, because guilt is a more self-condemnation. You know, makes you feel like you can't, like you need to just stand still. Okay. If it doesn't make you feel like I just am unworthy to continue, a sense of unworthiness, that's where guilt comes in. If you can avoid that, well, you can avoid it if you eliminate outward authorities in your life.